Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series, Living During the Tribulation. With the judgment seat of Christ finished, Christians are given brilliant white robes and ushered into a magnificent banquet room. When everyone is seated, the head table with its 13 chairs is the only one that remains empty. An angel announces the 12 apostles, and when Jesus enters, everyone stands to their feet and roars out their approval for the Son of God. An angel leads the believers in a pledge to accept Jesus as the groom, and the Son of God accepts them as his bride. This is followed by a feast, and the party seems to go on indefinitely. No one notices how long it lasts. After all, this is heaven, and time is not important anymore. The events on earth pale in comparison, but eventually Jesus interrupts the party to show the suffering endured by those with the embedded microchip. This message is entitled, Joy in Heaven and Hell on Earth. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And I'm very happy to have you here today. And we're going to be talking about the wedding feast in heaven, the marriage feast of the Lamb, and the preparation on the earth for Jesus coming back. Let me repeat this statement that I've said many times. The spirit world has always existed. The spirit world is real. Angels in the spirit world, saved people that have now gone to heaven, they are solid. They have solid soul bodies. Ears, eyes, nose, head, hands, legs. They got full bodies. Heaven is solid, different dimension. The physical world that we are in is temporary. It was created one time. It will be dissolved later. It will cease to exist. The problem we have is, we say, well, we can take this, we can so on. The technology that you see here has been given to us from the spirit world. The spirit world has a technology that is way beyond ours. But they have buildings. They have spaceships. They have communication. They have everything much more advanced than what we have. And most people think of the spirit world where you have some kind of ghost activity. You know, you just float around, you know, like a blob. It's more real. And we are a replica of the spirit world. Let me take you back, actually take you forward now to about 50 years up in time. It's been about 39 years since the Antichrist took power and became the supreme leader. The false prophet, the pastor, has been working with him. And they've had time of prosperity. And then last week we talked about the big evacuation where Jesus sent his spaceship back, got the angels out, they got all the Christians out of the earth, and now we are in heaven. I'm there, you are there, because when a rapture takes place at the very end of the tribulation, we're going to go. So if you're alive, you're good to go. If you're dead, your body will be raised up. You're already in heaven. If you die, you're in heaven already. So here we are now in heaven. And we're standing around. Time does not show. We don't think about time anymore. And there we have the judgment seat going on, and we see every day, we see on the big screens, here is so-and-so coming up. They run his life. We are looking at it. We see portion of the tape is blanked out. And somebody says, why is that blanked out? Because that is when a person asks for forgiveness and the blood of Jesus wiped it out. We also see in this that some people have their life video begin at the age of maybe 7, and some begin at 20, and some begin later. And someone says, well, why is it? Well, that's the moment they got saved. You see, the good news is this, that everything you've done prior to your salvation is wiped out. That will never come back. But you are held responsible for what you do after you are saved. So here we are now watching people. And then just about everyone goes down. And angels are coming up, handcuff them, and they go off to prison to pay what we didn't put under the blood here. Let me take it to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to have done, whether it be good or bad. Now, the Christian churches really are not teaching this. They're simply saying this. Once you get saved, you're forgiven, you know. When you get up to the judgment seat, you're going to get, you know, your rewards and stuff. It's going to be hallelujah time. Well, it might be hallelujah time for some people, but it's not going to be hallelujah time for all people. Because look at verse number 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord will persuade men. But we are made manifest to God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. Let's slow down. Paul said, almost 1900 years ago, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Now, last week I talked about the judgment seat, the angels of torment, the prison. I'm not going to repeat that. If you haven't heard that, you have to wait until the tape is up. But I covered it last week. So here we are in heaven now. And I do know this, that I'm going to go down. I'm going to have some problems. Now, I am trying to keep a very short account. I try not to sin, you know, and simply, well, I'm going to do this and ask God forgive me later on. Those really heavy payments on those. It's like when you're driving a car and you look at the speed sign and it says, you know, 65. And you simply say, 65, how about I'm doing 85? And no one is saying there's no patrol car here, you know. So now you're sinning, what do you call it? You're sinning with knowledge. That's going to show up on your movie, when you video. So we need to think about what we do, because God is light. In him is no darkness, and everything has to be accounted for. Now, no one, when we're up there, now we're standing around, and I'm meeting some of you, and I met thousands of people who led to Christ over the years, and been members in the churches I've been and so on. And we're talking there and discussing things, and we're saying, well, praise God, you know, I'm saved. And I wish, you know, that I would have done differently on earth. But no one is angry. No one is bitter. No one bears a grudge. Because you see, the moment we left the earth, our sinful nature was taken out of our soul. And we know that God is just. Turn to Revelation chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And they sing the song of Moses, that's us, the servant of God, and the songs of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, you King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy. For all nations come and worship before you, for the judgments are made manifest. So we're standing around and I'm saying, you know, well, God is just. Whatever I got coming, I deserve it. And I take my punishment. I know that justice has to be meted out. And since I didn't put it under the blood, I had to pray for myself. Now, understand this. Let's just slow down and think. I'm going to talk about salvation now. What I'm talking about is simply this. After your salvation, we have the opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. If we do that, we are forgiven. Blotted out. But if you simply are slothful, and you say, oh, well, I don't have to ask for forgiveness for that, you know. I got mad at that guy. He deserves it, that creep over there, you know. I just wish he would choke on his vomit, you know. Those are the things you're going to pay for. So if you want to walk in the light, ask God every day. Matter of fact, before you go to bed at night, simply say, Lord, have I done anything today that is not good? And the Holy Spirit will show you. Repent. And my prayer is, God, if there anything I've done that I cannot see right now, please forgive me. I don't want to sleep without having asked for forgiveness. Because I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning. So when I wake up in the morning, I want to have a clean slate. If you live like that every day, you're going to do very well at the judgment seat of Christ. And so Paul warned us. Jesus warned us, and he simply said, I want you to know this. No one is going to come up to heaven and say, but God, if I would have known that, I would have done live differently. And God would have said, it's in my word. Well, I didn't read the word. That's your problem. The pastor didn't preach it. That's your problem. You got the Bible. Everything I got here today is in the Bible. And by the way, I didn't write this Bible this morning. What you got in your hand was written about a few hundred years ago, thousands of years ago. Anyway, it's over. And suddenly now, we see on the screens, because there are going to be big screens in heaven. Everywhere you go, there are going to be screens. And we see on the TV screens. And here comes an angel coming up and saying, ladies and gentlemen, the judgment seat of Christ is over. The last person is judged. The last person has come out of the prison. They have paid their dues. And now, ladies and gentlemen, believers in Christ, the marriage feast or the marriage supper of the Lamb is to begin. And we said, wow, okay. So we're told not to go down to this particular building. This building is huge, gleaming white, and it seats millions and millions of believers. There's no time in heaven. We're not pushing and shoving. And as we go up to the different entrances, suddenly there's an angel there. And he simply said, sir, ma'am, here is your white stone. You got your name written in there. This is yours for eternity. And I want you to see that. We're going to Revelation 2:17. And we read this. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. To him that overcomes, he that is saved, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man saving, he that received it. How many of you share your credit card numbers with other people? You don't. So we got this nice, shiny white stone, like a wafer thin. It's a name written in there. You know what? If your name is John, Harry, Susan, whatever it is, that's not your name in heaven. You're going to get a new name. A new name. We're going to know each other, but we're going to have a new name. And so now, I've been given my white stone. I said, well, praise God. Go to the next station. Here are angels sizing me up. But it's, oh, John, they're going to use my new name there. I've got a robe for you. And they slipped this robe on me. Nice, white, bright white, soft. Never felt material like that before. And I got a robe from here on all the way down to my feet. And then I'm told, please go inside, and angels will take you to your chair. Have you been to banquets? I've been to banquets for gospel businessmen, where there might have been a couple of thousand people, and they had everyone had a name tag on it to go usher to your seat. So now we're coming in there, and I find my seat somewhere in there, and I'm sitting down. I say, well, wow. On the walls, television screens. There's an angel choir in there. Beautiful background, rivers, trees, beautiful. And you hear the angels sing, praise music. And then I see up here, we have a head table. And there are 13 chairs, 12 smaller ones, and then one head chair. And then I sent for this. And now I'm told it. I have an angel. I said, no, who's going to sit up there? The 12 apostles and Jesus. So all of us have been seated in there. Now we're sitting in there just enjoying the music. And suddenly the angel with the master ceremony comes up and said, ladies and gentlemen, the apostles are now being seated. A door open on the side, and here they walk in, beginning with Peter and all the others. They don't look a day over 25. I look at myself, man, I'm only about 25. I'm not wrinkled. What happened? I got full hair. Wow! I used to have a bald spot back here. Mm-mm, not bald anymore. I got hair. I look good. And now the apostles come in. And each one take their seats. And when they are seated, the angel, again the master ceremony, simply says this. Believers, rise! The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is here. Double doors open up in the back. And his light comes in brighter than the sun. And then we see him, Jesus. And when we see him, we're standing up, and we not say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We are standing, shouting, ah! We are excited. Finally, we are seeing Jesus face to face. If you turn with me right now to Revelation chapter 1. And we have a description here, folks. Have you read this? Verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlestick, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his hand seven stars, and his mouth went the sharp two-edged sword. His countenance as the sun shines in his strength. That's Jesus. And then Jesus beckons with his hand, and we all get quiet. And he says, sit down. We're sitting down. Now, we can't believe it. Beautiful place. Fantastic. 12 apostles. And the 12th apostle is Paul. And now, the master of ceremony, angel, comes up. And he simply says this. It is time for the ceremony. Before he does that, Jesus stood up, and Jesus simply said this. This is what I look forward to. Years ago in Jerusalem, I set the Passover. I did it with Moses in the wilderness. And I told the apostles, I was looking forward to this Passover before I was killed on the cross. But now, my beloved, I'm looking forward to this meal because the crucifixion is over. I'm resurrected. This is victory meal. This is what we're going to have, a fantastic time. Turn quickly to Luke chapter 22. If you pick it up from verse number 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then he said, for I said to you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And now Jesus is simply saying this. This is it, folks. And the angel of ceremony, Jesus sits down, and the angel of ceremony simply stands unto the people and simply says this now. Will you stand? And we all are standing up. And the angels simply said, would you repeat after me? Would you affirm this? Would you take Jesus Christ to be your groom? And at that moment, we're going to say, yes! And then the angels' ceremony turns to Jesus and said, will you take these believers to be your bride? And Jesus said, yes, I will. And at that moment, the angel of ceremony will say, I now proclaim you are now married to the Lamb. Congratulations. You have now received a status above the angels. When you were on earth, you didn't have a lot of power. You were beneath the angels. But now you have been elevated up, and you will have more power than the angels had. You will have more power. You can do more things. You're going to have a body resurrected. You have a body like Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 13. But to which the angels said at the time, sit in my right hand, I make your enemies do footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, Jesus is giving a speech. And as he has spoken, we sit down, and suddenly we see angels coming in from all over. Now, imagine now we got millions and millions of people in this room. And we all can see Jesus that clear because we got the screens. I mean, it is like watching him, you know, close up. It doesn't matter where you're in the room, you see him. And now, you talk about a feast. They're going to have food brought in. And we're sitting there. We served probably a 7-course dinner. And you know, time does not exist in heaven. and we're not getting tired. And when we got to heaven, we don't sleep anymore. We don't have to sleep anymore. We're never tired. We're good for 24/7. And now you're sitting there, you're already sitting there eating, and I'm sitting there saying, well, praise God, you know, we made it. How about, look at this food. Wow. I don't know what it is, but it sure tastes good. And before we know it, we have been eating for 6 months. Where did time go? Well, there's no time in heaven. No one needs to go to the bathroom. We're just perfect. So, after this is all over, and I want you to read me now in Revelation 6. Jesus is standing up. We finished the supper. And Jesus says this, I have now given my order to the armed forces of heaven to strike the World Federation with a fury that is going to destroy any pleasure that the people of the beast system enjoy. As we sit here now and finish this beautiful meal that's going to be remembered for eternity, all hell is going to break loose on earth. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. And when he opened his fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood of them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them. And he was said to them, they should rest yet for a little season, unto the fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. As Jesus speaks this, all these screens become alive, this time now, with a live feed from earth. And we're looking upon it. And in Revelation 16, I want you to be there with me as we see this here take place. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out your vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had a mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped the image. As we look down upon those screens, we see the earth. We see those angels coming in with their spaceships. And they start spraying whatever they are doing. And suddenly every person that has a microchip eating the hand or the forehead, suddenly now they have boils. And just come up with great pain. And they begin to scream in pain. And we're sitting there watching it on the screen. And we say, wow. And God said, and Jesus said, now they are receiving their rewards. And as you look down there, the feed goes from different places on the earth. You recognize that's the one that was checked me out in the grocery store. That's the lady. This is the guy that runs the gas station. He's over there. And you realize the pain they have. The temper's picking up now. The next angel sweeps in. Verse number 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And now we see the oceans, red blood. Fishes are popping up dead. Everything in those oceans are dead. And we realize, wow, look at that judgment. And then in verse number 4, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Every sweet water, every river, every fountain, every spring suddenly looked like blood. And they heard the angel of the waters say, you are righteous, O Lord, which art and was, and shall be, because you have judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. You have given them the blood to drink. for they are worthy. Now, as we look down upon the screens, we see people opening up the tap water. Out comes a red liquid. They had to drink it because they got to have liquid. It tastes horrible. And we see them squirming. They have this sores on themselves. Now they're drinking blood. Everything is in chaos. And we realize God is judging. And then verses 5 and 6, we've read that. And then we go down to verse number 7. And there's a person in a banquet where he cries out, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. But what is really hurting us is we recognize people that we knew on earth. Verses 8 through 9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And they were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power with his plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. The ozone layer removed. The full violet rays are coming in. And suddenly the skin is breaking out. And now they got the boils. They got the heat. They got the blood. And they're running around. This great leader. The supreme leader is nowhere to found. The pastor is nowhere to found. It's chaos. As we're sitting there. And it pains us. Because we recognize people that lived in our cities. That we worked with on a job. We recognize them. And we say, that's so-and-so. Man, why didn't I witness to that person? And he said, I was so busy. I only thought about myself. I mean, we're doing this and that, you know. I didn't pay attention. And now, these people are lost. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, of the kingdom, for full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And they repented not of their deeds. As we're sitting there, we forgot the dinner. We forgot that we are now grief-stricken. As we're looking down upon the earth, and we recognize these people that took the mark of the beast, they can't repent. We realize now what it means when God is judging. Before, we've always heard God is love. God thought, yes, he's love. God wants to love us. But he said this, if you don't love me, if you don't come to me, if you're not going to be born again, then you're going to see my wrath. I want you to have my love. But if you reject my love, I will give you my wrath. I don't know where Joe Lowenstein will be at this time. But I'm sure that he and prosperity preachers and others, if they made it to heaven, but if they didn't make it, they're going to be running around. And they're going to simply say this, was I a fool? Was I a fool? And you're going to be thinking about this. You know, I worked a second job to get a better car. Or you know what we were working on, you know, to redecorate our bathroom. And we spent all our time on that. And we put new wallpaper on the wall. And we did all kind of different things. And we went to vacation, we went cruising, we went traveling, and we did all the things instead of talking to people around us and saying, God loves you. He wants to save you. It's going to be a grief-stricken group up there. I'll be there, and I'm going to say, God, I could have done more. I want to take you right now to Revelation chapter 20. 21. And I want you to understand this. I don't think that you're going to hear this from most preachers, because this type of preacher does not fill the offering plates. In Revelation chapter 21, we read this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. It will be after the 1,000-year kingdom, after the great white throne judgment, when we have moved into the new creation, that we, God will simply, God the Father himself, and he will take every one of us and say, I'm going to take away your tears now. And I'm going to remove the memories of your husband that didn't get saved, of your sister that didn't get saved, of your grandmother that didn't get saved. I'm going to remove all the memories of the people that did not get saved and are in the lake of fire. You're not going to remember them anymore. I'm also going to remove from your memory the judgment that we had on the earth. You're not going to remember it anymore. You could look forward, but you're not going to remember it anymore. You see, if we are in heaven and you had a loved one that refused to receive Christ and you know they're in a lake of fire, you're not going to be able to enjoy heaven, because you're going to think about my husband, my wife, my child, my uncle, my grandmother. That's not heaven. That's why it's going to be wiped away. But until that time, we will remember. Now today, you have an opportunity. I share with you what's going to happen 50, 60 years down the road on this story based upon the book of Revelation. We are back now in our time. Now, you know what's going to happen in the future. You have the opportunity to speak to all people that you meet. It doesn't mean that you go to the grocery store and take a gun out and start shooting in the ceiling and then say, everybody, I want to tell you about Jesus. No. You don't walk up to the checkout counter. The clerk is busy. You got 15 people behind you and say to the clerk, you take them by the hands and let me tell you about Jesus. That's the wrong time to do it. But God will give you divine appointments. You will meet people. There will be the right time to do it. You need to be open. And now is the time to simply say, Lord, use me to a maximum so I will have no regrets when I get up to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Lord, I want to make everything I can. And you also have the chance right now to begin to clean up your life and ask God for forgiveness for things you have done that you shouldn't have done after you got saved. So when you get up to the judgments of the Christ, you will be prejudged by yourself. My last scripture for today in the First Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. You know, some people, when they are flying, They can pre-check in. They can be pre-checked. And so when they come up to the counter, you know, you don't have to go through anything. You know, you just hold up. You know, I'm pre-checked. That's how you want to be when you come to the judgment seat of Christ. Coming in there and saying, Jesus, I pre-checked myself. Jesus looked at the book and says, well, yeah, this is blank, this is blank. I got this little thing over here you forgot. But you want to be pre-checked. Listen to the scripture. And we read it here. In verse number 4, 31, 11, 1 Corinthians 11, 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I like that. You and I can repent. We can simply take care of things. And when your time comes for the judgment seat of Christ, you're pretty well done. Jesus, well, we got pretty much here, yeah, a couple of things here, but minor things. That's what I like to hear. What about you? Now, every time I close a message, I want you to make decisions. You can make a decision there. First of all, I want to talk to you that are not saved. There's someone watching me right now. You're not saved. And you says, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I don't want to go through that. I want to be saved. Here's what you do. Just right now, admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you need to be forgiven. Ask God to forgive you. Proclaim that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. Confess that. And then ask Jesus to forgive you. And say, Jesus, come into my life. Take away all my sin. I want to be born again. And that's how simple it is. When we finish here, the screen will change where you are. You see three crosses coming up, and you will hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles. And he will say this to you, my friend. And then he will take the scriptures. He would open up some scriptures. He will pray with you. And you can know that today you are saved. Would you do that? And when you've done that, contact us, because I'd like to congratulate you. People here like to talk to you on the phone and simply rejoice in your salvation. To those of you that are saved, some of you are old Christians, have been for a long time. You're baptized in the Spirit. Some of you have been through deliverance. Some of you are going thinking about it. And some of you are just moving along. But ask yourself this question today. Am I where I should be with God? Am I in the Bible? Do I have a prayer life? Do I witness? Do I repent on a daily basis? And if you cannot say, yes, I do all of this, why don't you change and simply say, today, I am going to repent and change my life. If you need help, you want to talk to somebody, call a minister line. It's open 24/7. If we are sleeping, we're not answering it, but otherwise we answer the phone. And someone will pray for you. Now, to those of you that are perfect, you're doing all these things, and you are ready to go to the judgment seat of Christ, pray for the rest of us that need some help. And with that, Brother Satiris, you come and close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Let us take heed of this lesson today, we pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All judgment is coming, the judgment seat of Christ, and we pray, O Lord, that we are prepared. We will be prepared. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, not only for ourselves, but, O Lord, we're going to see the need around us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that, O Lord, we're not going to lose any opportunity. Any opportunity whatsoever, we're not going to miss it. But, oh Lord, we're going to preach the word. We're going to be stunt in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let us examine ourselves. Oh, thank you, Father. Let us examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. And the Bible says also, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we pray that we, Lord, we keep that in mind. We, O Lord, we start, O Lord, start from the beginning, O Lord, and O Lord, and we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, O Lord, for the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us to repent for things of the past, O Lord, and to be active, to be aggressive, O Lord, to miss no opportunity whatsoever, O Lord, to reach out to others. And we want to thank you and praise you, Father, and it will be like the pastor said, will be no regret whatsoever. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for, O Lord, for leading us and guiding us and equipping us with all that we need. We pray, O Lord, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And let us be grateful that one day, O Lord, you chose us. You chose us and you calling us, and we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Let us be a testimony to many, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we want to love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for touching each and every person listening to us today, O Lord, that we all going to be, O Lord, that this message, O Lord, will stir the hearts of the people all around, we pray. Will stir their hearts and start examining themselves. Start becoming, O Lord, becoming more diligent, more disciplined to reach out to the lost, we pray in the name of Jesus, to the lost and perishing. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for a wonderful message, O Lord. Thank you for touching the pastor mightily today, O Lord, and you gave him the anointing and the illustration, O Lord, that we could not miss it. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory today in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We needed to hear a message like that. And we give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children said, amen, amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you might say, well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, You need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the seventh part in the series, Living During the Tribulation, and was entitled, Joy in Heaven and Hell on Earth. With the judgment seat of Christ finished, Christians are given brilliant white robes and ushered into a magnificent banquet room. When everyone is seated, the head table with its 13 chairs is the only one that remains empty. An angel announces the 12 apostles, and when Jesus enters, everyone stands to their feet and roars out their approval for the Son of God. An angel leads the believers in the pledge to accept Jesus as the groom, and the Son of God accepts them as His bride. This is followed by a feast, and the party seems to go on indefinitely. No one notices how long it lasts. After all, this is heaven, and time is not important anymore. The events on earth pale in comparison, but eventually Jesus interrupts the festivities to show the suffering that is happening on earth. Believers watch in stunned silence as angels pour out four vials on the earth that creates hell for those who have taken the embedded microchip. They cannot repent, and their fate is sealed. In a short while, they will all be in the lake of fire. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1770. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.